back in on Canucks Central. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Final segment of the program. We're on at 3 o'clock tomorrow as we'll have an abbreviated show. Mm-hmm. Canucks starting at 5 o'clock in Dallas. So that means pregame show will fire up at 4. We'll have Yannick Hansen off the top of the show at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, our Friday analyst. But because of the shortened program, we've decided to do Mailbag Friday on a Thursday. Hit the music. You know it. That lovely Mailbag Friday music. Still the same music even when it's Mailbag Friday on a Thursday.
Yeah, that would be a weird change.
Should we have specific Mailbag Thursday music?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, if you want...
No.
But I feel like we nailed it.
Yeah, I think we keep it.
The Mailbag Friday music is... you nailed it, Josh.
Thank you. We'll start with this one from Vern. Fun question. Name one player from the past who you would choose to turn this team around. Mattias Ohlin, Pavel Bure, Marcus Naslund, Todd Bertuzzi, Edge Ovechkin. Who are you picking?
Out of those players?
Doesn't have to be out of those players. Just one player from the past.
Oh, man. Such a great question.
Darby Hendrickson.
What? Lonnie Bohanas.
Oh, man. That's a big Lonnie Bohanas guy. Sergio Momesso.
I mean, he'd defend his teammates, that's for sure.
I want to see some of that.
I want to see what Lukas Krajicek can do on this defense.
You know what? I'm going to go with Mattias Ohlin. Because big personality, but also like incredible player, warrior, great leader, Swede. Mm. Could he be the type of guy that would get Elias Pettersson kind of intact and also the type of personality that could, you know, handle a situation between JT and Pettersson?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's pretty simple. Well, it's not pretty simple. Canucks have had some pretty good players through their history.
Rich and Cloverdale says Chris Tanev. Or just bring Dad back.
I think you just go with the best player available, Pavel Bure.
Bure? You think Bure with his personality and this team and their personalities?
Fired up.
It'd be so fun.
Who knows what could happen?
We know what happened because they had McGillney and Bure and all those guys together and did not go very well.
Well, Messier was the biggest problem. Let's be honest.
It was a big problem.
Mike Keenan didn't help either.
Sheldon says Lyndon would get the whole locker room on the same page. Lyndon is getting some votes as well. I mean, Stan Smeal, if you want to talk about ultimate, leader and lunch bucket type of player.
Yeah.
I do love that we're just like, who can make the room okay?
Well, that's kind of where we're at, right? Like,
why wouldn't you just add one of the Sedins?
One of the Sedins?
Yeah. Like, would Daniel or Henrik be a better fit?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I guess Daniel.
Add Henrik and move Miller to the wing?
Yeah, I suppose. But then wouldn't you? Yeah, I guess.
Or move Pettersson to the wing?
Yeah, Bieksa.
Bieksa would just set. It would be adding fuel to the fire. It would be fun, though.
Well, I know people are in texting like, Orland, big personality. He's like, no, I met him in Aldergrove. He was, with the guys. Like, he's a guy that carried weight with the team. And it was kind of funny. When you talk to the guys about Orland, like, he wasn't just as quiet to fans and media. Like, he wasn't quite like that behind the scenes. It's about what you are like in a room, right? Dan Hamhuis.
I'm still going with Bure.
I think Bure is a good answer. And then you
just Bure and Tockett might be oil and water, but that would be fun.
Yeah, you guys would want to, you guys just want to watch the world burn.
Surely he'd be like, well, this guy is going to score 60 goals, so it's fine.
I mean, it's probably because of the age that I was, but Bure is still my all-time favorite hockey player.
He is, absolutely. But I'm saying if this team, you throw Bure into this locker room,
yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
We got to move on. This one from our
No pod. Love for Brett Hedekin? Okay, sorry.
What are the odds management keeps the band together if the win streak continues?
Management.
There's a non-zero chance.
Yes.
But it's closer to zero than it is to even 10%.
Yeah, I know Rutherford did say, like, we don't want to trade either of them. But then after everything else you said, it's like... Do you really mean that?
I mean, I don't want to trade either of them, you also said it's never going to work.
Yeah, he's like, everything we try, it always comes back to the same thing again. So even if it works, and that we're at a point now that the final 32 games wouldn't be a big sample, it's a smaller sample.
We're not going to be dissuaded that a short-term moment of it going away, of the issue not being as apparent as it has been all of this season. Like, they're just not believing in any short stretch that this isn't an issue.
Yeah, and I mean, last year they never really hit adversity. Like, even they were 500 towards the end of the year, but it was a bad losing streak. Patterson struggled a little bit, but they were so clear first in the division, and none of those issues really came to the forefront at all, right?
Nope.
So you might be able to survive through this year. And honestly, we talked about this yesterday. There is a real possibility that the Canucks get through the trade deadline with either player getting traded, and this is the last kick at the can with these guys.
Yeah.
But like, short of winning a Stanley Cup, and you were saying, even if you win a cup, you still trade one. Like, it's kind of like, this will be your last dance.
Yes.
This will be the last dance. If you get past the deadline, it will be the last dance before one or both go in the offseason.
I, honestly, my money's on one of them gets moved.
Deadline?
Before the deadline.
Yeah, we'll see.
And I mean, still, odds are it's JT.
Yeah, we'll see. The offers have to be better, man.
To answer the question, there is a non-zero chance that they keep the band together.
All right, next one from Everything Canucks. After D. Petey returns from the AHL All-Star Game, does he get back into the lineup over Juleson for a few games at least?
Okay, so my read on this situation, and it's informed on this, that he was brought up mainly to get a bit of a taste. He wasn't brought up to be a solution for the team. They had a need. He's earned the opportunity. They love the progress he's made. They want him to continue to grow as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Their need for the back end is not superseding their development plan for Elias Pettersson. And their development plan was bring him up, have him play a few games and go back down, and then you can call him back up again at some point, but go work on your game and next time you'll be better prepared. So I wouldn't be surprised that we see DPD back in Abbotsford after the All-Star game and stays there until a need arises on the Canucks blue line again. Like, that to me is probably the most likely scenario, unless some injury or something pops up.
Yeah, you don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. He's still very young, played less than 12 minutes in both games that he played. So, yeah, chances are you might see him a little bit in the future, but short term, this was just for him to get a taste.
Next one from Quinn. Do you think Tom Welander should get some games this season, assuming he signs after his college season is done?
Yeah, if you sign him at the end of the college season, I don't see why you wouldn't try to get him into a game. I mean, that's similar to what's happening with Elias Pettersson, the defenseman, and what we've seen with other players that this team has brought through over the years. They like to give them a little bit of a taste and then send them on their way to continue their development. If they are going to sign Tom Welander, I believe, you know, that will be part of their development plan. Like, hey, we'll give you a game or two and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I mean, Welander, same thing as DPD. They have a plan for him, and long term, they have an idea of what he's going to do. He's not going to be thrown into anything, but I think there's a really good chance he does play a game here before the season ends.
Yeah.
Like, the plan was for him to play 2 years in the NCAA. This year has gone really well. They're very happy with his progress. And he's going to sign. And the question just comes down to how many games does he play for the Canucks? And can he put himself in a position where he's still on the roster if they make the postseason?
Yeah.
Or do they feel like, hey, you came and play a game with you, you got your taste, go and play in Abbotsford for the rest of the season? That's going to be the question.
Next one from Justin in East Van. Will Adam Boakvist be claimed by the Canucks?
So he's right-handed Erik Brännström in many ways, which should kind of tell you what the organization would kind of think. He's a bit bigger than Brännström, but also not a really big player, 6 feet tall. But I like Boakvist a lot in his draft class. He's really talented. Defensively, has a lot of issues. I just don't know if he'd play the role that this team would want him to play in.
Yeah.
Because his best usage is being sheltered 5-on-5 and playing on the power play, which is Erik Brännström. He doesn't play on the PK.
He's not good defensively.
No, and given how this team operates, why would you want to bring that in? Like, on a different team, a different philosophy, perhaps, you can talk yourself into him coming in. But on this squad, given how they want their D-men to play and how the team is built, like, he's not a fit.
It's not just this squad, though. You know, like, he's coming from Florida.
Yeah.
Right?
But Florida plays a lot like the Canucks.
They do. Stanley Cup contenders. they don't have room on their third pair for a power play specialist.
Well, of course, no, because they have their own power play guys. The Canucks already have Hughes. They already have Hronek even, right?
When you have Quinn Hughes, who now plays the entire two minutes of every single power play the Canucks have, what is the point of having an Adam Boakvist on your roster? You are more likely to have a player like a Noah Juulsen who's going to play on your PK. And I know Noah Juulsen is flawed. He's not as talented a hockey player per se as Adam Boakvist, but he's more talented on the defensive end. He's a better penalty killer than Adam Boakvist likely will ever be. And so that's why teams are going to trust a player like Noah Juulsen more than they would Adam Boakvist. You might not like it, but there's a lot of coaches around the league that want to deploy their rosters this way, and it's going to continue that way for the Vancouver Canucks. So I don't see the value of Boakvist on the Canucks roster. I don't, because he can't defend.
Yeah, if there's a team that's in transition trying to find some value and find a future offensive defenseman, sure, but that's not where the Canucks are.
Like even LA scratching Brant Clark the other night. He's been fine for them this year, but guess what? Had to shelter him defensively. As soon as Doughty's back, he's out of the lineup.
Yeah, and I saw people say, well, could he be interesting for the Canucks if they're moving, say, JT or somebody or Patterson? Could you get Clark back? And it's like, yeah, you could get him back probably in a trade, but where is he playing?
Yeah.
And ultimately, if he's a power play specialist who's not good defensively, like he's not a fit on the team.
Yeah. It's really hard for contending teams to carry that kind of a player.
Next one from JB. Should Canucks fans be worried of there being a scenario where they miss the playoffs and don't trade or re-sign some key UFAs like Brock Besser, Pugh Suter, or Kevin Lankinen, and thus lose them for nothing?
Yes, that possibility exists because it's plausible. Like you said earlier, it's a non-zero chance that happens. I think it's unlikely that they're going to lose all their free agents and not trade any of them and miss the playoffs. I mean, we'll see what happens with Besser, but they're not in a position with how this year is going. Even if they can't trade Pettersson or Miller, that they're going to hold on to Besser to make one run at the playoffs. It shows you how little faith the organization has in Pettersson and JT, you know, working it out after what Rutherford said. So I just don't see it being very likely. I think at the very least, one or two of those UFAs are getting traded. I think Lankin is the most likely to stay because they might want to figure something out with him contract-wise. But can you sign Pugh Suter unless it's a really cheap deal? Do you...
Like, what's Suter looking at in free agency? Probably around $3 million per?
Something along those lines. And honestly, the way his season has gone, and he started off red hot, and he's played well.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's going to be able to command, you know... Like, to me, the player that he's most comparable to is Evan Rodriguez with the Florida Panthers. And I'd say Rodriguez is the better player. He's faster, he's a bit bigger, and has a little bit more offensive potential. But similar as far as production, similar profiles, can play wing, can play center, can play up and down your lineup a little bit, good defensively, have a bit of everything. But Evan Rodriguez is the higher end version of that, and he got, what, 3.5?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's getting 3. I think it's like high 2s.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been a really good player for the Canucks. I wouldn't mind keeping him in and around that number if the term isn't too long, given his age. But there's probably not a big return in trade coming back for a Pugh Suter.
What are we talking about? I think at best a third round pick.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not the same stakes as it is for Brock Besser, who could potentially fetch you a first rounder. Or a decent prospect and a second round pick, depending on you know what those deals look like. I wonder if you know it is a bit of a staring contest with Brock still. They're looking at him and saying, all right, you got to show us you want to stay in Vancouver. That means your numbers got to come down a little bit. Brock's not played well lately, and it does feel as though the situation is affecting him a little bit. So at least from what I could see from his play, he's nowhere near what he was at the beginning of this season or where he was last season when he had the 40 goals. So you've still got question marks about Besser. And I think they wanted him to become a bit of a stronger leader for the team. And maybe that hasn't happened off the ice. So you have question marks, and
I don't know about the leader stuff. I think Besser, I would guess that they're pretty happy with Besser because given what he's getting paid and his role as a winger, Like, I think he's done everything you want him to do.
Yeah.
Maybe not enough to sign him to an extension, but I don't think they're disappointed with him, you know, not being more than what he's been so far.
But if he wants to be an $8.5 million player, has he lived up to that?
Well, sure, but I think that's a bigger one as opposed to like being having some. I'm not sure there's disappointment in Brock Besser, so to speak, right? But does he fit here long term? Do they feel like he's tied to JT Miller?
Mm-hmm.
They've given a lot of credit to Besser's production to JT, and they also said both scored a lot of goals here because of JT that final season, right? So if they're not going to keep JT long term, do they feel like they can also commit to Besser?
Yeah,
that's probably not. That's my biggest thing. I mean, and if you're not keeping JT,
yeah,
how do you feel about keeping Besser at a big number? That's going to be the big question for me that this organization is sorting through.
Given that they've stayed in the playoff race through all the struggles of all these players, like there is a world where you trade Miller and Besser, depending on what you get back. But you're probably getting a couple of roster players back in return in those deals. Like, there's a world where you can still compete for a playoff spot while trading Miller and Besser, or leave Miller and Pettersson out of it. Like, there's definitely a world where you trade Besser and can still make a push for the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my thing has been, if you're not keeping Besser, trade him, cash in on the value, and then go and trade for Gustav Nyquist. We saw him last night.
Right.
He still skates well, smart offensively, can play on the power play, can play in a shutdown role if need be, can play up the lineup in a more featured role. Had 70 points last year. It's dried up a bit this year, but he's still a really nice complementary player. You're giving up significantly less for a Nyquist than you are for a Brock Besser, right? So, like, do that and then trade a third or something along those lines to go out and get into Gustav Nyquist. I think you can have the best of both worlds, so to speak, here if you really wanted it.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Next one comes from Mike. Should the Canucks want to stay in a wild card position and play the Jets, or go for third in the division and play the Knights or the Oilers?
I mean, like, I think roster-wise, and we saw the Jets really laid on the Canucks on the road, right? In the postseason, I think they would be a better matchup. It doesn't mean the Canucks would win, right? Mm-hmm. Than perhaps Edmonton and Vegas.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, to me, I'm not big on, lose to finish low. Just collect as many points as you can a season. I think what you have to do is play as well as you can and let the chips fall where they may. And
loser mentality is the phrase Elliot Friedman uses.
And be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Like, mentally, like, if you're in a position where you're rooting to play a lesser opponent, do you have the right mentality to begin with to go into the playoffs?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the thing to me. It's like,
but it doesn't matter right now. Like, right now, it doesn't matter. The Canucks would not win any of the way that they've played and what we've seen from this Canucks team, they're not beating any of those teams.
No, but it's more about, again, the question was which one of these teams, which is a better path?
And the better pathway is through the Central.
Yes, it would be the better path, but I'm not sure it's a significantly better path, right?
But again, they're not beating any of those teams unless we see a better version of the Vancouver Canucks.
We have 32 games to go. Let's see what happens. Mm.
Next one from Matt. In light of getting rest for his hand, should Quinn Hughes not play at the Four Nations tournament?
Well, they didn't give a letter to him, so he should not go out of spite, right?
Yes. It's like McDavid getting suspended.
Makar got a letter, you know? Yeah.
What does that tell you? MacKinnon didn't. Makar did.
They gave Charlie McAvoy a letter over Quinn Hughes? Eastern bias.
Yeah.
Tournament Matthews is in Boston.
Yeah.
And McAvoy's not even the captain of his team.
No, he's not.
I'm just kidding. I really don't care who gets the A.
Yeah, the captaincy doesn't necessarily
matter.
I mean, look, if you're a Canucks fan, of course you'd prefer Quinn Hughes take the time off to rest up, heal up for the back end of the season and for the push with the Vancouver Canucks.
But what push again? Like, if you don't think they're going to win in the playoffs, and the GM or the president's not sure on what's happening with Pettersson and Miller, could this be the highlight of his year?
Yeah. I also think, like, these experiences, best on best for players like Hughes, they would cherish it and they can grow from it. I think more so, probably for Pettersson more so maybe than Quinn Hughes, who's already the best defenseman on planet Earth. So how much more growth is there really for Quinn Hughes? But, you know, we saw with the Sedins back in 06, they really broke out after winning gold in the 06 Olympics with Team Sweden. I think these best on best tournaments can be great experiences for young players to get a different environment in, see how the other best players in the game prepare themselves. I think they are these are good opportunities for your young players.
Next one from Basketball Phil. Who is the most successful Ball brother? So there's LaMelo.
Oh.
There is Lonzo.
Okay.
And LiAngelo, who is now a rapper.
I think LaMelo has been the better one, right?
LaMelo has definitely been the better one.
Yeah.
So the question is, do you believe in LiAngelo as a rapper so much? Because he has this song that's like,
is it
popular.
Is it, how popular is it?
I think it's called Tweaker.
Tweaker?
It's pretty good. It's very popular.
I'll go
on right away.
Never heard it.
No, I'll go with LaMelo. LaMelo's still a decent player.
Yeah. I would still go LaMelo.
Yeah.
Yeah, LaMelo's like scoring, 28 points a game?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
It's definitely LaMelo.
Yeah. I mean, he's...
Put some respect on Jello's name. Come on.
I mean, the guy's won the Rookie of the Year. He's been an all-star. He's one of the league leaders in scoring this year. Had injuries the last couple of years, but he's only 23 years old. Maybe shoot better threes, maybe better shot selection a little bit, but I mean, he's talented. What else do you want from the guy?
It's definitely LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, 100%. Not even close.
Next one, Gordy Locke. Without mentioning names, are you currently beefing with anyone in your life?
In my life?
Do you have a nemesis?
Nemesis? No, I mean, I kind of like eliminated, the people I don't like in my life. Like, I don't have people that I'm like frenemies with, so to speak.
Right.
It's like, I don't like you, I just don't talk to you.
Is that why you haven't been talking to me lately?
I mean, you guys know I'm not like the biggest chat guy. Like, I'm not always sending messages and chatting. Like, that's that's just not how I am.
Yeah.
I'm some of that type of person that may take days to get back to you sometimes. Like, I try to put my phone away a lot.
Yeah.
Put yourself first.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, especially as I get older.
I am not currently beefing with anybody.
No.
Much like Sad, I'm above the beef.
I've had enemies in the past.
If you want a beef, I'm just going to like chill and I'm going to be like, this isn't worth my time. So I'm good.
I've had plenty of beefs. Like even like back in the day, you had some media beefs even a little bit or whatever you got into with people. I'm just past all that.
Great Netflix program though. Beef.
Beef. Oh, it is good. Oh, it was really good.
So good.
Pettiness can go wrong.
Yes, it can.
Not to be confused with Bear, which takes location.
At the beef.
At beef.
At beef. Not beef. Yeah. Beef. Beef.
Yeah.
Mm. But there's also lots of beef in.
Yes.
There is.
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's also gotten bad. That show now.
The last season was dreadful.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Like, what if all these personal vignettes about their lives? Like, I don't care.
Yeah, it was a little slow. It was kind of boring.
Here's what happened to this character 20 years. Like, I don't care. What about the restaurant?
True. Yeah. That's true. Never mind. Maybe it was bad. Anyway, next one. We'll end with this from AJ. What are your top 5 video games?
Okay. All right. So I got back into gaming recently.
Ah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a PS4, and then some years ago, I gave it to my brother, and I hadn't got a system. So I finally, I got a PS5.
Yeah.
The first couple games I got, COD and FIFA. Well, yeah. I guess EA, right? GTA.
Do you play COD online at all? Just to die every 3 seconds?
No, I'm not good enough. So I'm like, I'm doing the campaign right now, trying to get through it, right?
It's the better way for us old folks to do it.
Yeah, just do the campaign, get a little bit better. I just want to get shot every single time I get a chance. So when I played COD the first time,
and
then I'm on the new system. It's like the Modern Warfare one.
Yeah.
And it forced you to do training, right? And like, I had to do the training for like 2 hours. It drove me crazy. I just kept getting killed. It was just like, well, I'm like, who are these people? I was so mad. I'm like, can I just play the campaign?
There was no screen that popped up. Like, you're clearly too old for this.
It may as well.
We will give you a refund.
So I Googled like, how long do I have to do this? And it said usually 30 minutes to an hour. And I'm like, this is 2 hours for me.
Okay.
But GTA, yes. Yeah. Grand Theft Auto is like probably my favorite.
GTA for sure. FIFA, any FIFA game ever.
NHL is fun.
I was mostly, I don't know if I'm a gamer. I'm just like a sports gamer guy.
Golf for you is probably got to be
golf.
Big.
Love the old Tiger Woods games. Can't wait for 2K25 to come out. And the other game that I played like crazy was Uncharted. The Uncharted series was
fun, right?
Yeah. So fun. The puzzles and everything. It was just like, what a great game.
Yeah.
And the cinematics in it. The movie, big downer. But Otherwise, the whole series of games were fantastic.
Do they still make Fable? I remember playing Fable back in the day. It used to be really good.
They are actually making a new Fable.
The new Fable. That's what I'm excited to play. Really good. That's going to be good. But like old Fable was like big. You're trying to get me into playing Spider-Man.
Yeah, the Spider-Man games are those are real good.
Spider-Man.
There's three of them. Well, there's like two and a half.
Right. Mm.
And they're all really good.
This Is Us. Great show. I've never played the game actually. But
play God of War. Okay.
Oh, God of War is good.
Yeah.
God of War is good. It can be difficult, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. That'll do it for today's show.
They don't make Gears of War anymore, do they?
They do.
They do?
Yeah.
Is it on PlayStation? It used to only be on Xbox, right?
So the funny thing quickly before we end the show is that that's what Xbox is doing now. They're like, we're going to release Xbox games on Nintendo and PlayStation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're like, yeah, we're not going to fight anymore.
They'll just make money.
They're like, we're just going to make money where we can. We're not going to fight anymore with telling you it's exclusive only to Xbox.
Because honestly, I really enjoyed Gears of War. When I had an Xbox, that's like the game I played the most.
Yeah. I was always a PlayStation guy, so like Halo and all those games, never played them. Burt Reynolds, should we be counting Second Assistant Beer League? The answer, yes, because Jerry in Maple Ridge needs to tell the ref that he got the second assist, even when he didn't, just so he can go home and look at his stat sheet and feel better about himself. It's Dan Riccio.
Shots fired.
Babe, I got a cookie.
Got another apple, babe. Got three on the night. Only one was real. Shouts to producers Josh and Arash, my co-host Sat. I'm Dan. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock on Canuck Central.
Catch up on what happened in Vancouver sports with Halford and Brough in the morning. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.